You're listening to the Morning Glory International Voice of Hope with Minister Tim, providing you with that gleam of hope. Morning, family and friends, and welcome to another hopeful morning with your host, Minister Kim, family and friends. Oprah had a vision, and she allowed destiny to happen. What will it take for you to birth your vision? Today, we'll discuss God's leading lady when the odds seem against her. Amen? And I know there's been times where it seems like the odds are against you, but you and I know that God is always for us. We have Miss Sparkle Lee from Harlem, New York. Sparkle is the first female to be appointed to the New York State Athletic Commission and the only licensed female professional referee in all of New York and New Jersey. I gotta stop right there and give her applause. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When we talk about the odds being against us and understanding that the favor of the Lord is with us, that's just a praise right there. Sparkle has been the referee in a WBO title bout, broadcasted on HBO, and recently officiated a pro fight in Johannesburg, South Africa. Sparkle is known for her ability to keep the fights under control and places the safety of the fighters above everything else. Her theory is, if anybody's getting hit a little too much and they are not fighting back, the fight is over. We have with us a Harlem lady appointed as God's leading lady with us today. Sparkle Lee was born in Harlem Hospital. She has lived in the area all of her life. She was one of 16 children and was born minutes apart from her twin sister, Star Lee. Sparkle and her sister began boxing at Gleason's Gym in the early 1980s. Sparkle never boxed competitively, even though plenty of trainers encouraged her to do so. Today, our Gleam of Hope guest, Miss Sparkle Lee, will share the obstacles which stood in her way but didn't hinder her from accomplishing her goal. As God's chosen leading lady, you learn how to persevere even when it seems that the odds are against you. So when we come back, we will be introducing you to our Gleam of Hope guest, Miss Sparkle Lee. We'll be back on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope with Minister Kim, family, and friends.
Here we go. Overflow.
It is truly an honor to be with you here this morning. I am so grateful. There's so many things that are going on today, and I can't wait to let you know what's going on in the hood later on. But right now, we have a guest here that we're going to sit and we're going to converse, and we're going to give you a gleam of hope that you tuned in to get today. I know you need your dose, and I need it as well. So it's truly an honor to have Miss Sparkle Lee with us today. She is definitely God's leading lady who won the odds that seem to have been against her. So, Miss Lee, it is definitely an honor to have you here. Welcome to the Morning Glory.
Thank you. Thank you. And what a blessed introduction. That was awesome.
You are so welcome. Well, look, honor that is due.
You did your homework. That's what I'm talking about, preparation. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you. It's an honor. That's what it's all about here. We want to make sure that you get your roses, amen, your spotlight down here on earth. God is already shining upon you, Miss Lee, and we definitely would love for you to share your life with us. But before we get into today's topic, I would like for you to share with our audience your formal years as a female police officer.
Oh, wow, yeah. Yes, I became a police officer in 1987 and I retired in 2007. And I tell you, it's nothing but God, because that definitely wasn't my choice of work that I ever wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But when you find yourself as a single parent, you have to decide, you know, what you have to do best to support them, and that's why I really became a police officer. But it was a true blessing. I would tell anyone to be it, because it's not really what you see always on TV, because you really have the opportunity to really reach out to our young people, and that's what I did with that job.
Right. And I'm glad that you stated that, because oftentimes we see the negative, you know, whether in media or and different arenas, what's happening. But, you know, I'm telling anybody this, it doesn't just happen in the police force, amen? It's the individual, amen? It could come in, and he could be at your job, amen? You know, come on, listeners, you know that you've had a contiguous, you know, co-worker, someone who comes in with all kinds of drama, you don't know what's going on in their life, but you're like, oh, my God, here they come again. So it happens in every arena, and I think that we just have to be the co-worker, the support, and encourage them, and we do see our colleagues falling off. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, what's up? Yeah, is everything okay? Yeah, we don't do that,
and
right?
God is everywhere.
Yes, yes, he is. And we need
to don't realize it, but I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
People don't realize we also, in the police department, they have a police officer for Christ. Mm. And that's an awesome, you know, organization.
Oh,
these officers. That's right, Police Officer for Christ. And they go out there and they do so much stuff for the community. You don't hear it because it's not about, they're not about the showing so you can, like,
right,
praise them. They're doing a lot of things right under the cover, but they are awesome. And they out there, when they arrest somebody, they're actually still and telling them about the Lord. So, you know, there's some awesome stuff. And I've worked, been in an apartment for 20 years. I'm telling you, it's a very small percentage, even of white officers that I would work with. Then I'm going to be honest with you, some black officers, that they really do love the community. So, you know, like you said, it's just our community. We have a community you're from. They can show the negative stuff, but there's positive in everything. So I
exactly. And you know what? With that, I'm gonna do my, like you said, my due diligence, investigate that, the police officer for Christ, because we need to honor our police officers. We really do, and I hopefully you can help us behind the scenes so we can get that, because I think we need to do that as we are a show that provides a gleam of hope. We need to bring these police officers to the front and just honor them for what they're doing so that we can get a clarity and understanding that, you know what, everything that you're hearing out there and everything that you're seeing is not the whole picture. Amen. It's not the whole picture. There's good and bad. There's evil and good on every side. It doesn't matter. Amen. It's what we choose to do. Amen. And sometimes we're going through things and, you know, we act out of our own character, you know. But guess what? When we have police officers of Christ that stand in the gap, guess what? They could be praying for you and praying you through a situation. You will have a breakthrough. I love what you just said. We're definitely going to honor that. Now, another wonderful thing that you said was in reference to this was not your chosen career, your ideal destiny, but because of becoming a single parent, you was forced to do something to provide for your children. Now, with my studies, I believe, don't quote me on this, if I'm wrong, just let me know, that you have two children, am I correct? You have two children, right?
No, I have three.
Okay, because I know you do a lot of, foster kids, you bring a lot of children into your home, because that's one of the things that a police officer of Christ do, right? You open up your home and you allow others to come in. I know that's something that you do. We're going to talk about that a little later in the show. You have three children. Can you give us their names and their ages, if you don't mind?
Yes. My youngest daughter is, her name is Coco, and she's 25 years old. I have a daughter, of course, named after me, Sparkle.
Yes.
And she's 34 years old. And then I have my son, Jimmy, and he's 35.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah.
And they're awesome people, I tell you. I've been truly blessed with them. So, you know, and they're awesome adults, and they know God. And, you know, that was my job, to make sure they knew him, because, you know, at one point they're going to leave your house. So they got to be aware and know that who they can also trust. You know, mom is there sometimes, but mama may not be. You know that God is there always. Mm-hmm. So I've been blessed, and I have three grandchildren. My son is married, and he has three awesome boys, and they know Jesus. So it's just a blessing. It's just a family.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. When you put God first, amen. That's what it will happen. We will see the fruits of our labor, and we will see the lineages of what we do when it comes. And that's all in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. If you are listening and you know Christ, well, later on we give you the opportunity to get to know Christ, I'm telling you to read. I'm encouraging you to read Deuteronomy chapter 28 about the cursing and the blessing. And it's all ties into family. Family, how important it is for us to live a life of Christ and follow his command. So you truly are a woman after God's heart. That's why we have selected you to be God's leading lady here with us on the Morning Glory in our segment for this month. And also recognizing where you've been and where you are going with your future, with your beautiful three adult children. That is Sparkle, Jimmy, and Coco, and then your three awesome grandchildren. That is truly a blessed grandchild. Yes, you got the boys. Woo! I got the girls.
Lord,
I got two grandchildren. I got two granddaughters. I got to catch up with you. I got to catch up with you right now, because I got the little one, Layla, just made, 5 months, 6 months? Hold on. Honey, they are a jewel. I'm so grateful to be alive, to be able to experience this time in my life. So that's awesome. We congratulate you and thank God for what you're doing. Now, I know you talked about wonderful things about the police officers. You did your 20 years and you retired. You got out. Great. Do you regret the decision to retire, get out at 20? You know, sometimes when people retire, you're like, Dad, I retired. I'm still young. What do I do with my life? Do you regret that decision that you made to retire from the police officers?
You know, I don't know if I'm going to use the word regret. I mean, I probably could have stayed a little longer, but I'm never, you know, some people are bored maybe like when they retire.
Right.
But like I said, once you're in the church and you're dealing with ministry, you're never bored.
Amen.
So, you know, since, like I said, I'm very involved in my church, so I miss the people. I met so many wonderful, wonderful people in the department. So I think, if anything, I just missed the people. But I'm glad. I think it was time. I think it was God saying it's time to chill from that, because the longer you stay, God knows what might happen. You know, they send you out there doing something and getting something. So I'm glad I left and I was healthy. And that was the main thing. So.
Great. Well, I'm glad that you are not only comfortable, but at peace at the decisions that you make. You know what I mean? Because that's very important, to be at peace with decisions that you make. And you know that God has sanctioned what you have chosen to do. And like you said, now you are actively involved in your church. So give us the name of your church, because we want to shout your church and your leaders out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My church is Memorial Baptist Church in Harlem on 115th Street, and my pastor is Pastor Renee Washington Gardner.
Oh, okay. I think I've heard of Pastor Renee Gardner. Memorial Baptist Church in Harlem.
Yeah, right in Harlem. Mm-hmm. Yeah, our lay pastor was her husband.
Okay.
She was the first lady. Now she's the pastor. So that's nothing but God. But it's a blessing, and I just thank her for her teaching, and you know, she's just awesome. You know, even now during this Lent season and stuff, you know, she, you know, wants us to do something different than we've been doing. You know, how Lent, we say, okay, we're going to stop doing this. You know how some people, I'll stop drinking, I'll stop smoking, I'll stop eating meat or whatever, and then pick it up. And she was like, no, this year we want to do something else. She said, no, y'all need to purge. She said, I need you guys to, when you put it down, don't pick it back up. I don't want, you know, she said, why pick it back up? You can stop at this time for these 40 days, then you can, don't pick it back up. So I thank her for that. So, and that's what I'm working on, you know, trying to purge from something that I don't want to pick back up. And
awesome,
it's just
awesome
blessing.
Good. One of the things that we've been doing here in Holden, those who make this commitment is being the accountability partner. And what we've been doing here on the radio is stating since January, since the new year came in, to make decisions. You got to make the right decisions. Whatever decisions that you make, that we will help you be accountable. And, you know, even earlier today, one of the ladies, you know, we had met, we sat down, my sister in Christ, and there's some things that she wants to do without sharing her business and, you know, breaking confidentiality. So I call her, or I'll text her every now and then and say, where we at, what we doing? And it's important to have that, because we are each other's keeper. You know what I'm saying? We have to encourage and inspire, because sometimes we can get off track. You know how the enemy tries to distract us with things. So I'm grateful that you have an awesome pastor. Says we're going to do something different. We're going to go higher during this 40-day Lent period in our life. We're not going to just go stop doing something temporarily and go back to it, but let's just make it a new lifestyle. So if you want to share later when we go through this break what you have put down and you want to be committed, we will gracefully be your accountability party and every now and then call you up and check on you to make sure that you are sticking to what you decide to make a decision to change in your life.
Amen.
We'll be back on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope with Minister Kim, family, friends, and our Gleam of Hope guest today, Ms. Sparkle Lee, the first Black female referee boxing here in New York and New Jersey. We'll be back.
Everybody say Hi, I am Ms. Myra Smith Fry, and on behalf of the I Am Special Movement, I want to take this time to invite you to visit the porch. Come on, stop by on Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Dial 832-551-5100. Access code 232885 for the I Am Special Inspirational Call. We not only offer you an ice cold mason jar full of lemonade or tea, but we make sure that you know you are special. Thanks to all the great information, knowledge, and wisdom shared there, you are going to leave knowing that special people do special things. So come on by each Sunday. Join us on the porch.
Welcome back to another show with us. And if you just tuned in, we want to gratefully thank you for joining us and supporting this platform that we have as we minister to you today. Our topic today is God's Leading Lady When the Odds Seem Against You. Our Gleam of Hope guest today is Ms. Sparkle Lee from Harlem, New York. She was a former police officer. She retired a man. She has three lovely children and three awesome grandsons, and today we're going to be talking about some of the odds that were against her as she took this assignment and becoming a referee, a boxing coach referee. She has her New York State's license, and God has truly blessed her, amen, to be a referee on WBO title bout, as well as broadcasting on HBO, as well as officiating a pro fight in Johannesburg, South Africa. Yeah, I would have wished, I would have went with you, but never know. Next time, if you said we should go to Africa, I wanted to go. That's where I want to go to. Johanna, but that's what I'm speaking of. That's right. Thank you so much. See, that was my accountability partner right there. Thank you so much. I was Sparkle for saying that. So when I get a chance, come and say, remember we talked about that? So we're going to make it happen, put that in my to-do list. So before we left, we talked about just the Lent, which we're in the Lent season, not getting off the topic because we're talking about accountability partner, and then talking about the odds, because sometimes we make these decisions, and guess what? All distractions could be against us. So if you don't mind sharing and being transparent here with us on the radio, what did you decide to give up for Lent?
Honestly, for me, it was more of just getting out my comfort zone. My problem is a lot of things I can do that I get timid, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm a little nervous, so I'm coming out of my comfort zone. I'm doing things I've never done, and I'm just doing it. And even if I get a little nervous or whatever, I just do it anyway. So I told at this Lent season, I want to just start doing, speaking up more. A lot of things in my life that, you know, I get a chance to speak to a lot of people and young people, and I don't do it. So I'm in this time, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be able to tell people the low parts of my life when I was actually abused, sexually abused as a kid. Mm-hmm. I'm going to come out there and speak on a lot of different things and a lot, just to get out of my comfort zone. That's something that's holding me back with a lot of things. So I just said, do this, listen, that's what I'm doing. A lot of plans that I've been talking about doing, I haven't, so I'm doing it. So that's for me. That was more because, you know, doing the Lent, you know, not eating this, I'm doing that, the fasting. For me, I told my pastor, honestly, for me, it's easy. Those are one of the things that's easy. For some people, fasting is not easy. But for me, to really start stepping out and doing things that I know I should have been doing years ago, I'm going to do it. So that's what I'm doing. And I think that's what's going to work for me, just to come out of my comfort zone and just be what God really wants me to be. You know, like Moses was afraid to speak up because, you know, I can't speak. And, you know, that just showed in the Bible. It happened in the Bible when God had him to, hey, I want you to speak to me? I can't talk. I stutter, whatever. You know, so I'm coming out of my comfort zone and I'm just stepping out, you know, and just, you know, and that's it.
That's powerful, ain't that? That's it. That's awesome. Yeah. Because what that says is you're letting go of your will and you releasing it into the will of God, and God is honoring that. I love that. We don't definitely, if you don't mind, we would love to be your accountability partner. I always tell our guests, when you come here once, we adopt you as family, and we definitely want to reach out to you periodically and see what else you're doing. One of the things I heard that you just said, and I am going to say, and correct me if I'm right or wrong, that this was one of the obstacles that you probably had even as a child. You know, you said that you was molested as a child, and that's something that you don't talk about, have not talked about. So we're talking about God's leading lady, right? We're talking about you as God's leading lady, even when the odds were against you. So would you say that at a young age, I don't know how old it was, if you want to share that part or this other part of your life that you want to disclose to us now and say, these were some odds, these were some mountains, amen, some bricks, there were some people, there were some circumstances in my life that seemed like it would have been the very thing, you know, that broke the camel back and caused me just to give up on life, give up on my dreams, give up on my family. But instead, I persevered. I became a police officer. I retired. And now I am the first female referee.
Yeah, from New York and New Jersey, yeah.
You better get that right. Come on. We're practicing right now. That's right. For New York and New Jersey. When we look you up in the Athletic Commission, your name is in there. They have approved you. The mic has dropped. I dropped the mic on you. That means that you're the bomb. You're just the bomb. We crown you today. Tell us, like, some of the obstacles. Let's talk now. We in our topic, everyone. So let's just talk with Sparkle. I'm giving you the mic. Come on, Sparkle. Tell us what's going on.
Well, you know, if we want to go back to that, or just that, you know, growing up, you know, like I said, I'm a very big family, you know, like you said, 16 of us and everything. And, when we were, I would say, you know, around age of 6 or 7 years old, you know, my brother definitely sexually abused me, and it happened a couple of years ago. It happened for a few years, but it wasn't just me. It was a few other, my sisters also was also abused by him. But it was something, it was so sad because it was something that we never talked about. We really basically, honestly, never really talked about to this day. You know, we knew what was happening, but we didn't really express it. And it wasn't like we ran to our mom. And that's the creepy part with young people today, or even kids, because it can happen to someone that's close to you. So where you may not, at the same time, you may know at the time that it's wrong, or you should tell somebody, and you keep it to yourself. But later, when you get older, you start to act out in certain ways.
Right.
You go, well, why am I doing this? And I didn't even realize it. You know, maybe why did I choose the certain guys I choose? Mm-hmm. You know, why did I, you know, was sexual active? Why this and that? Until later you start thinking, man, this all happened from then. It's not like I ever went to a psychiatrist back in them days. And people ain't go to psychiatrist stuff. If the problem was there, you just remove the problem. And you just keep it moving. And I think that's all we've ever done. You know, and it's funny, little by little, I talk to my sisters. I go, wow, you know, all this happened to us, and we never really addressed it, and we never talked about it. But I tell you, I didn't really start to really understand everything until years in my adult, when I had to actually go to my brother and tell my brother I forgave him. And that's when really, really my healing really started. It really started, and I thank God again for my pastor, because she was doing a whole lecture on forgiveness and how, you know, if you keep it in your heart that you can't move on. And I think that, to me, I think that was really part. You're not speaking. So now when it's something, things you should be doing, you're not doing because you don't realize it's because you didn't speak when you was a kid. You never sit up being told somebody that you was hurting. You just kept on moving. So even now, you miss so many different opportunities that God has for you. And I didn't really realize until my pastor really started talking about forgiveness. And I was like, wow, that's so true. I'm going to have to forgive him. That's the only way for me to move on to the next thing that God has for me. And that's what I did, you know. And that's what I did. And I thank God. And I tell you what's so interesting, the day my brother died, he was in a hospital. And myself and two of my other sisters, who he also abused, we was the ones who gave him his last rites. And we told him that we all forgave him. And before he closed his eyes, a tear came down. He couldn't even speak. He could not even speak. And I tell you, that right there is like, it like touched me right now, because it just, you know, we don't know what he was doing, what was going on in his head. I mean, how do you do that to your sisters, you know, and think nothing of it? But we had to heal first, you know. We had to heal first. So, I don't want to just go into another place with me right now. I'm going to get you, Minister Kim. But
good stuff. I thank you. I thank you, Sparkle, for being transparent and even going deeper and giving us more what I thought that you were going to really share. I thought you were just going to give us a surface, but you went deeper. And, you know, you said something about this is Brent time for you, and one of the things that you wanted to do was speak more, right, be more bold and come out and, you know, and this is what you just did. And one of the things that you said, you know, you want to start talking about being sexually abused when you were younger. And this is the platform, and I really thank you. My hat goes off to you to use this platform today to share with our audience about your sexual encounter and by your biological brother and how God has healed you. God has healed you. He gave you a forum to do that in, a safe place, you know. And then you and your sisters went, and you know, God is so awesome. He's so merciful. So I thank God. You okay?
Oh, me? Oh, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay, good. All right now, because I know not only did your testimony touch me, but I know it is touching our audience right now, because someone like yourself was sexually abused by a family member. And I know that they are dealing with unforgiveness right now. And we want to pray for you that the same God that Sparkle and I serve is the same God. If you open up your heart and mind to Him, and you cry out to God, and you let God know every emotion that you are experiencing, I believe the God that we serve will heal you and empower you to forgive. If that loved one is still alive, that you will be able to go to them and say, I forgave you. Because just like you are walking around hurt, they too remember what they did to you. For whatever reason why they did it, they are still walking around with that. It's baggage, and it weighs us down emotionally, spiritually, and physically.
Amen.
But once you let that go and don't give unforgiveness power, you will see your life grow tremendously, because you don't allow that to have no longer control. Am I correct, Sparkle?
Amen. Oh, that's absolutely true, because I'll tell you, they see, it's like when you be on, you know, like I said, I thank God I get the opportunity to be on TV. I travel, you know, all over the world. I mean, I know I'm blessed, and, you know, people, hey, oh, wow, great job, and that's what they see. But, you know, I try to tell a lot of young ladies, stop being jealous of this sister or that sister. You don't know, oh, they got this, I don't have that. You don't even know what it took for them to get it, or their parents, and you don't really know what's happening inside. Just be thankful, just bless them and say, oh, wow, awesome. You know, we have to learn to support each other, because, like I said, we don't know what the other person's going through or what they've been through. We just see the outer. But we don't see what's inside. And that's something that, you know, when I do talk to especially young women, and, you know, I let them know. But, yeah, you see it. Like I said, I'm always being praised, but I always, always, even though they don't want to hear it, I don't know if you watch boxing at all.
Yes, I do. Because when we get into it, we going to, you know, go to a commercial. But when we come back, we're going to get into it again. We are talking about God's leading lady when the odds seem against you. Amen. And definitely Sparkle Lee has witnessed, amen, she just shared a testimony, one of the odds that were against her, but she did not allow that to pledge her, amen, to hold her back, to be able to God has just for her to be like she just said. I travel all over the world. Amen. My children are saved. My grandsons are saved. Life is good, even with all of the stuff that has happened in my past. But I had to let it go. So when we come back, we're going to talk about you being in the ring. Amen. Being that referee. Because, girl, I don't know how you do it. Because I do watch boxing, like you asked. Yeah, I do watch it. So I'll be back on the Morning Glory International Voice Remote with our guest this morning, Miss Sparkle Lee from Harlem. Shout out Harlem. Harlem, New York is in the house. We'll be back.
He wants to heal your total being. Little hand said, thank God for healing.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, my family and my friends. It is such an honor to be with you this morning on a Saturday morning, and you are joining us on the Morning Glory, and I am really grateful to have Miss Sparkle Lee here as we continue with God's Leading Lady when the odds seem against you. She just shared something really powerful, really profound, and if you are just tuning in, I need you to go back and archive it. Go to our website, go to www.themorningglory.org and just download and share it, because you just don't know, not only you, but I believe someone that you know definitely needs to hear her story, amen, and she continues to reveal herself, telling us her story. Now, Sparkle, we're talking about you and the referee. Honey, you in the ring with big men, powerful men,
yeah.
They hands are licensed, as I've heard about boxers, amen? So, let me tell you, I love to watch, but even watching on TV, I went to one boxing tournament in Westchester County, and I was like, oh my God, can't see that, oh no, come, I get all in it, but you really in the ring. You firsthand, how do you do that?
Oh, man, by the grace of God. And you know, it's so funny because it wasn't something that I actually thought. I didn't even ever say, okay, I want to be a referee. I want to be a referee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I just started out, you know, in Gleason's gym, I was doing the white-collar boxing. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the white-collar boxing is, you know, you could be a lawyer, doctor, whatever, and fight each other, whatever. You know, just
mm-hmm.
like an amateur thing. And
okay.
I was actually starting to do that, you know, and just
working out. I didn't know they had that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have what they call white-collar boxing. They have it in Brooklyn and Gleason's, and they still do
mm-hmm.
it to this day. So in the early 80s, I would say, around 82, around 1982 or whatever, when I was doing it. And, I'm just working out, you know, for fit, you know, just working myself out. That's it. And the guy was like, oh, hey, we got this white-collar boxing. Can you fight this other lady? But you don't have to really hurt each other. I'm like, yeah, okay. But, oh, my God, it felt so good. I was like, bet, like in my head, I don't know what she think I'm gonna do, but I'm going for mine because I've been training. And
right.
It was so funny. So it was like, even like a few months ago, a guy in my building comes to me. He says, Sparkle, I saw you in the paper. This lady, she was a model, and she said years ago she was in Gleason, and they had her fight you or whatever, and you broke her nose. I was like, oh, my. I said,
oh, God.
So I looked, and the guy emailed me. I was like, well, I didn't know I was that good. But I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed being in there. It was like a high that I've never felt. And that's also part of my training, because even during that time, not knowing, every time I would hit on that bag, one thing great about it, you were able to do whatever. Whether you had a bad boss, they had your boss faces on, you know, somebody, mm-hmm. just to get mm-hmm. the tension on. And I would tell mm-hmm. people that also helped me, you know, through a lot of things I was going through, because as I worked out, I was able to just let go and mm-hmm. have a good time. But, you know, being a referee right now, it's like I said, I'm truly blessed. It's not an easy job, and I don't take it for granted, because at any point, if I don't stop the fight at a certain time, one of these guys could die, and I really know how serious it is. But I've been doing it for a long time, and I've been blessed that a lot of the trainers who've known me when I was in the amateurs, because like I said, I also did the Golden Gloves. In 1998, I became the first female who ref a Golden Glove, okay? And I was in the amateurs for years, from 1984, and they didn't let me ref a Golden Glove till 1998. So that tells you I was there. I still worked the other
way. You got some experience.
Yeah, so I was there. So in 1998, I became the first female to actually ref a Golden Glove. That was really and I was thankful. And then, you know, later on, and like I said, it's not only a black woman, but I thank God the only female right now that's licensed in New York and New Jersey. But that's only for the grace of God. And it's not something that I was looking for. You know, like I said, God has one plan for you. You have something else, and he just made it bigger and bigger. So, like I said, doesn't matter what I've been through, it's where I'm at today. But
yes,
it's good.
Yes.
It's good. You get the respect. You get the respect. You know, you get the respect eventually. You know, the guys see you, and, you know, they're going to try you, and sometimes you got to let them know, okay, do what you do, and I'll do what I have to do. So, you know, I've been really blessed.
When we come back, we're going to talk about more. There was an interview that was conducted, and one of the things that you said in this interview is that it's not about me. It's not about me. It's all about them. It's all about the boxers. And you referred yourself as staying invisible. So when we come back on the Morning Glory International Voice of Hope, we will definitely continue with our Gleam of Forget, Ms. Sparkle Lee. New York, the finest is in the house today. We got a referee, a female referee, professional. We'll be back.
Ladies, would you like to feel more confident, more empowered, all while simply being yourself? I can tell you firsthand that there is nothing more beautiful than a woman knowing exactly who she is. You're special, unique, and you have gifts and talents that make you an individual. Hi, my name is Kimberly Arrington, and I am the creator of I Am Me University, a unique online community of amazing women around the world, all committed to shine. We're just like you. I'm just like you. And it's time to be amazing, to stop being afraid, to live the life that you know you deserve. I'm so honored and blessed to be a woman, and you should be too. You have more in you than you realize. So won't you join us and get ready to be your best self? You can join us at www.immeuniversity.com, and let's let the world know that we are here.
Hey, this is Steve Harvey. You know, some people might say I'm a star, but to me, moms are the real stars. You know, they do so much and they show a lot of love for their kids each and every day. That's why I'm excited to partner with Coca-Cola to kick off this year's Coca-Cola Pay It Forward program, which includes the all-new Coca-Cola Pay It Forward Academy and a $5,000 scholarship for the winners. The Coca-Cola Pay It Forward Academy is an all-expense-paid 3-day experience designed to encourage high academic achievement for teens and provide school tips for moms as they support their teens' academic goals. To give your teen a chance to win this experience, hosted by Coca-Cola and me in Atlanta this summer, go to coke.com/payitforward.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
I want to be a warm fleece on a cold
day. I want to
be a
football stadium.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Hope you have enjoyed the show. We are now in our next segment, which is In the Hood. I love every segment of our show. I am tooting my own horn, but I really enjoy how the team gets together and we plan weekly on what we're going to provide for you. And I mentioned this on last week, and I just want to reiterate on what is taking place. Before I do that, I need to just thank our awesome Radio Angel executive producer that paves the way each week, even when I'm not able to be here because I'm out in the community or doing something with the family and I'm not able to, just the scheduling's not fitting, but she's always here. We always make sure that there's a show lined up for you so that you can get your cup filled. Amen. We want the overflow of God to be with you for the rest of the week. So this is what we do. But I want to thank her for just always just filling in and doing what she needs to do. On last week, we got an opportunity, Sparker, to be on Black Satin Radio with host King Judah and his co-host. Her name escapes my mind right now, but don't charge it to my heart. If y'all listening, Black Sat Radio, I love you guys over there. And I want to thank you once again for just inviting myself and Kim to your platform. We definitely want to continue to check y'all out and just continue to connect and grow together as hosts. Amen. Providing that gleam of hope to everyone. I want to let you know that there is an awesome event that's taking place right now as we speak. The 2015 Sassy Women's Conference is being held in Albany, New York. Go to our website, which is, you know, on Facebook. Thank you, Kim. It's on our website, www.themorningglory.org, for more information. Even if you get there in the afternoon, just let them know you first time heard it on The Morning Glory. Let me tell you, Prophetess Carol and also, Carmen, oh, what is going on? I am just so excited. So Prophetess Carmen, as well as our sister, our friend, First Lady, Dana Rose, who was here a couple of weeks ago, she will definitely make sure that you get a seat in the house. Amen. And don't forget, this is dear to my heart. Kingdom Care Food Pantry continues with us participating as one family, one love. That's what we do. We have the pantry that's going to be taking place next week, actually, on the 21st. Come out and support. The doors open at 3. And it closes at 5. Let me tell y'all something. I'm telling my family this right now. You know, this is in the studio. Get there early. I've seen, you know, some of my regulars line up even at 1:30 because they know it's first come, first served. And what I like different, Sparkle, about this pantry, we put the food out and everything is category organized because we have to do everything decently right. In order. But what happens is you're able to select what you want for your family. You know, I don't know if you ever been to a food pantry, but let me be real. When I'm short, I go to food pantries. You know what I'm saying? And they give you a bag. They give you what they think deep. So all the bags are the same. And you wind up, you know, picking out and selecting what you want. Either you throw it away, I share it with somebody. But what I like about
kingdom careful on what they do is they allow you to select, so nothing is going to waste. So make sure you do that. And if you want to donate any non-perishable food or give a love offering, you can always drop by Kingdom Light Temple, which is located on 3030 Jerome Avenue in the Bronx. Boogie Boogie Down Bronx, shout out to my Bronx family and friends, anywhere between the hours of 5:45 or on a Saturday at 12 noon to 1:30 on Wednesdays and then on Saturdays. So just keep that in mind, all right? Don't forget that we need all the help. If you want to come out and help, please come out and help. And never, ever forget, we got double features on Saturday. You got the Morning Glory at 10. No, 9. You got us at 9. And then you got Man Talk 101 at 11 o'clock. Amen. Again, 9 o'clock. Don't tune in at 10 o'clock. I know we got some, you know, some Westerns there, but 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is where the Morning Glory is happening on Blog Talk Radio with Minister Kim, family, friends. And then we got our Inspiration Beauty, Kimberly Arrington and Vincent K. Harris, at 11 a.m., Man Talk 101, and they are truly our relationship experts. They definitely gave us, you know, some tips on last week in regarding balance in our relationships, which is so important, everyone. You got to have balance. You love God, God knows it, but He also gave your family, and you got to have balance. You got to spend time. That's why I'm telling Sparkle, on the 28th, I'm taking the girls out, but I'm going to have a date, too, with Pop Boo. Amen. So, Spark, I'm going to push hard to definitely get out there and support you. And please do not forget, every Sunday, I Am Special. It's a family conference call, and each week is something different. Come out on the porch, hang out with us with your mason jars every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that's with my sister friend, Myra Fire from Texas. The call number again is 832-551-5199. And the access code is 232-885-POUND. All this information, again, is on our website. When we come back, we going in. It's all about you. It's all about you. We'll be back on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope. I'm having a wonderful time with you today, Sparkle. We'll be back, family.
It's about you. It's all about you.
Good morning, young people. I am so delighted to be here today with you and just to chat. Today, I wanted to take some time to talk about a topic that I think most of you enjoy, and that's fashion. I know during the cold winter seasons, we're so bundled up, no one really knows what we have on. We have on two pair of socks with our boots. We have on our long johns and sweaters and scarves and hats, and everything to cover up so we can stay warm. But now, we're looking toward the springtime, and the weather will warm up pretty soon. And that's the time we tend to come out and really show what we have. Well, what I want to talk to you about today is fashion. Is it what you have or who you are? Now, there isn't anything wrong with wanting to be fashionable, or as they like to say nowadays, a fashionista. But I always get concerned when people allow themselves, especially young people, to allow the fashions or trends of today to define who you are. See, what's really important is not the clothes you wear, but how you wear them. You can have something that costs, say, maybe $20 versus something that costs $200. And depending on how the person who's wearing those items put them on and carry themselves, will determine how people look at them in terms of, wow, that person looks nice. Let me give you an example. I can buy a pair of jeans for $200, but if my attitude is horrible, if I'm not well kept or haven't washed, if I like to say, or if I'm combed my hair, it doesn't matter that I have on $200 jeans. I just don't look good. But let's say I bought a pair of jeans for $10, and I do have a pair of $10 jeans, I might say. And I look very nice, I'm well kept, my hair is combed, then people will look at me and say, wow, she looks nice. And trust me, people don't always know how much things cost. And even if they do, that really doesn't matter. What matters is how you carry yourself with the things that you have. I remember growing up, if you didn't have the latest jeans or the latest sneakers, Nike sneakers or Adidas sneakers, a Pumas back in my day. I don't know if you remember Pumas. If you didn't have those things, you weren't considered cool. And if you didn't have what they call the bomber jackets, you weren't cool. But my mother made sure she brought me things of quality. Now, I didn't always understand that. I was like, I don't want to wear that. But looking back now, I understand my mother spent her money wisely. She did things for us that are still paying off today. Yes. Now, of course, I wanted her to get me the latest and the most trendy of outfits. But those things that were popular back then are not even popular now. But the things that my mother spent on her family, I still carry with me. She allowed the money to be used for us to take trips and travel so I could learn about other places other than New York. She also put the money toward cultural activities. She would take us to plays and to operas and to different type of activities that would put me in a position to have to interact with people from all walks of life. Now, mind you, when I was a teenager, I really didn't care about all of that. But remember this, you will not be a teenager for the rest of your life. If you live long enough, you will grow up and become an adult. And those things that seem so important, like fashion right now, they're not a priority when you become an adult. You have other things that are important, like completing your education through college or vocational school or starting a business or an organization of some sort or going into the military. Those things become priority, or paying rent once you move out of your parents' house. And trust me, at some point they want you to go. Then you're on your own. You have to pay rent. And along with paying rent comes bills, light bills, gas bills, all of those things. And that once so important thing called fashion is no longer the number one most important do or die thing in your life. I know some of you are thinking, does that mean I'm going to look tore up when I get older? Absolutely not. For one thing, I always like to look good. And I make sure I do. However, if there are certain things that I want, a particular outfit, the first thing I do is I price it out. I shop around and see where I can get the best deal for that outfit. See, you don't always have to just give to the first store you go to and pay the top dollar for it to be valuable. I have found so many deals on so many quality outfits that I wanted from places that people didn't even think to go. The other thing that I do is sometimes I wait until it goes on sale. Yes, if you wait long enough and if you're patient, and when you get older, you become a little more patient, that thing that you adore so much will go on sale. The price will go down. And so you can still have the things that you like and still look nice. But let's get back to my point. My point is, no matter what you look like, what you're wearing, fashion should never define who you are. Think of your attitude as fashion. When you get up every day, you should put on attitude like you're putting on your best outfit. You see, attitude will follow you wherever you go, and people will judge you based on whether you have a good or bad attitude. So let me give you some key words here, and think of them in terms of, say, a pair of shoes, a nice jacket, a sweater, the nice bag that you like, you name it. But these are the things that you should carry with you, you should wear in your heart and in your thoughts every single day. Let's start with honesty. You should always be trustworthy. Don't deceive. Don't cheat or steal. Be reliable. Do what you say you'll do. Then you'll always look good. Respect. Treat others with respect. Follow the golden rule. Do unto others as you would like others to do unto you. Be patient with people, tolerant and accepting differences. Always use good manners and not bad language. Because bad language, it's like an old, smelly, stinky pair of raggedy, torn up sneakers that no one wants. And you don't want people to judge you based on a pair of sneakers, do you? That's just an example. Let's continue. Responsibility. Do what you're supposed to do. Do your chores. Do your homework. And always do your best. Use self-control. Be self-disciplined. Think before you act. People who are undisciplined or just act out of their emotions without first thinking through their actions, it's like putting on mismatched socks. It's like wearing polka dots and stripes. You look like a clown. And that's not how you want to look unless you want to be in a circus. Next, caring. Now that's one of my favorite outfits. Be kind. Be compassionate and show you care. Don't just pretend, but really care about people and take the time to help them when you can. Express gratitude. And most importantly, be quick to forgive. Don't hold grudges. Grudges really make you look messy. It's like you're walking around with a white shirt and you spill spaghetti all over it and you're acting as if there's nothing wrong. So clean it up. If someone has done something to you, try to fix it. It will really make you look good. Now, this last one that I'm going to mention, it is perhaps, in my opinion, the most valuable of all outfits in terms of character and attitude that you may have. And that's citizenship. Do your share to make your school and your community better. Cooperate. Get involved in community activities. Stay informed. Being a teen is not an excuse for not knowing what's going on around you in this world. Read. Watch the news. And when you're old enough, exercise your right to vote. But I know even before that, in school, there are a lot of elections. Election for class president, vice president, secretary, treasurer. There are all sorts of opportunities for you to cast your vote. Be a good neighbor. Don't be that person everyone complains about in the neighborhood and no one wants to be around. Obey laws and rules. And most importantly, respect authority. Trust me, it can save your life. And law enforcement officials are here to protect you. Good citizens also protect the environment. They don't just go around throwing their candy wrappers and empty bags of potato chips on the ground. Yep. This is your world. Keep it clean. And I like this one. Volunteer. Do something to help someone else out of the goodness of your heart without expecting anything in return. Because with that said, you will always be judged as someone who looks good because you are good. This is Sasha E. Lindsay coming to you from the Leadership Corner. I look forward to hearing from you. Reach out to me at changingdestinationsjte.org. Until next time, you have a good day.
It's dedicated to all my people that felt like giving up and you didn't think you were going to make it.
Bless it, Lord, the time.
Check it out, y'all.
I ain't got to hear it come. Out of the place.
Get up.
Yeah.
Get up. Get up.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns.
Have you read hundreds of books about personal finances from the conventional world of financial planning to day-to-day get-rich schemes to the new age gurus of money? If so, it's now time to understand you have a relationship with money. Your personal relationship with money can be complex due to your beliefs, attitudes, energy, history, and fears about money. The healthier you are in understanding there is a relationship with money, the better off you shall become. With that being said, we give it over to our money expert, Ray Jenkins, to share her strategic tip for this week.
Hey there. Welcome to this segment of Money Authentically with Ray Jenkins. I am Ray Jenkins, and I am going to be sharing with you today about money vision, your money vision. And I definitely want to thank you for joining me, and I'm going to start off being simple, then we'll go just a little deeper. Then we'll go simple again to just kind of clarify everything, you know, make it all plain. And then we'll wrap up. Okay. All right. So money vision. You're probably asking, what is a money vision? Well, I'm glad you asked, because most people don't know what a money vision is, and everyone needs one. Well, children don't need one. Babies don't need one. So I guess maybe everyone doesn't need one. But if you have any type of responsibility where money is concerned, then you need a money vision. And if you're raising children to be responsible with money, then you'll definitely want them to have a money vision as well. But I don't know that you necessarily want to spend time talking about a money vision to, or at least trying to implement, you know, a money vision with maybe a five-year-old. I don't know. Totally a choice. But anyway, what's a money vision? Okay, so a money vision is the culmination of what you've seen and what you currently see that dictates your money flow or the lack thereof. And ultimately, it's what you want to see. And I emphasize want to see. So that's all deep. But in layman terms, it's just really how you see money, a money vision, how you see money, how, you know, whatever plans, whatever goals that you have where your life is concerned, you know, and where your money is concerned. And no, it's not a budget. I'm all about freedom, financial freedom. And I do think that budgets serve a purpose, but I think that they can be very restrictive and limiting. Here's why. Because I share and I teach that, you know, we need a money vision. And we have to know our money number, because our money number, it fuels our money vision. You know, it helps us to realize our money vision. Okay, well, the vision that we want to see. Yeah, that's what our money number will help us do. Well, the money number is intended to help you live life on your terms. The money vision, it does the same thing. You create the vision so that you're living your life on your terms. And the money vision, it helps you to do that. Well, the budget is kind of like the opposite. The budget has you focused more on the money that you currently have. And it kind of keeps you stuck right there. Like where your expectation is for you to get that amount that you need on a monthly basis, annual basis, to cover your expenses, to meet your budget, but it doesn't give you the freedom to expect more. And consequently, when you don't expect more, either you don't get more, or when more comes, you don't even recognize that it's come. So, having said that, in layman terms, your money vision is how you see money. Okay, so, and that's important because, and it's the reason why we have to talk about that. I said we would go a little deep. You know, I like to do that because I like to get to the root of things. I'm not a superficial person, and I don't deal with things superficially. I get to the root of things. And so to do that, we've got to go a little deeper. So in going deeper, let's talk about how you relate to money, because how you see money is how you relate to money. Makes sense, right? Yeah. How you think about money, how you feel about money, all of those things are really, it comes down to what you've seen. And we'll talk about the vision that others have painted for you, because his was true. The vision that you've seen, we said that it was a culmination of what you've seen and what you currently see, right? Okay, so what you currently see is because of what you've seen. Yes, I'm not playing on words, but it's true. What have you seen? You know, have you seen struggle and hardship? Have you seen survival, doing what it takes? Have you seen stress, you know, health and relationships affected because of money, due to money? Well, those things have, you know, they're what you've seen. If that's what you've seen, then it's more than likely what you're experiencing. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk about that. I want to move into my 3 points. My 3 points being what we just mentioned: struggle, survival, and stress. Got to deal with those things, because that's the vision that most people see when they're thinking about their money. So let's start with the struggle. What does that struggle look like? Okay, well, if you saw your parents or whoever, you know, raised you, and your experience as a child was, you know, one of struggle, you're always seeing your parents not, you know, doing well financially, you know, barely making enough money, or, you know, unable to pay the bills, always, you know, some type of, you know, money crisis, those kind of things. Well, those type of hardships are probably what you are experiencing in your life right now, or what you're seeing right now. And it's because it's the way that you see money. So that's the vision that you have for money. Or survival. Okay, I know all about survival. You know, some know my story, some don't. You know, but coming from 4 generations of welfare and being a single mom, we were surviving. No question about it. We had to survive. And we did what it take. We did whatever it took. And that's pretty much where most people are right now. They're not living in and thriving. They're surviving, even if they do make a very high income. Just because someone has a high income doesn't mean that they're not in survival mode. And so, yeah, it's the do what it takes. You'll do whatever it takes to get the money, to pay the bills, to, you know, keep the money flowing in, you know, running, and, you know, those kind of things. Well, that's the survival mode. And, you know, that's the vision that you've seen. That's the vision. The vision that someone else painted for you, that you've got to be in survival mode when it comes to money. What about stress? Oh, it's harmful, because the stress, it's damaging your health. It's damaging your relationships. If you're arguing with your children, with your spouse, your significant other, you know, the people that you love, you know, you're always uptight about money, and you're always stressed out about money, or stressed out about how are you going to handle this or how are you going to handle that? Oh, absolutely. It's damaging to your health, and it's damaging to your relationships. Well, again, this is the vision that most people, not all people, but most people are seeing. It's the vision that most people are walking out. It's the, you know, the Bible says, you know, write the vision, make it plain that they who read it may run. Well, this is the vision that you've been running with, that we've been running with, because I've run with that vision too. That's been my exposure. Well, I did mention that I am solution. No, I didn't mention that I was solution oriented. I mentioned that I like to get to the root of problems. So in our next segment, we're going to do that. We're going to talk solutions, which was the fourth S, solutions. So Ray Jenkins of Money Authentically, checking out here, and we'll catch you the next time. Bye-bye.
All righty now. I know you are going to implement what our money expert, Ray Jenkins, had to offer you this week. And if so, shoot us an email. Go to our website, www.themorningglory.org. We'll be back on The Morning Glory.
Like a nightmare. Some cats cried and some tried to be hard, like they didn't care.
Mommy, why'd they do that?
I heard this little girl say,
Mommy, why did they hurt
me? She'll find out someday that the lashes on your back, even though hard to see, each one paints a perfect picture of your love for me. Last chick I barely knew. I could go all day, son, about all the stuff that I did. Like that day I was talking mad crazy about leaving my wife and my kids. Nah, I can't lie to me no more.
this is my season to reap what I have sown. This is my season for grace, for favor. This is my season to reap what I have sown. Y'all listen at this. See, I haven't been perfect, but I sure been faithful. See, God's got a purpose, yes, and I know He's able. I've got to see in the ground that He's blessing, no more stressing. I've got to see in the ground. Now I'm knowing and it's showing. My season for grace, for favor. It only works when we all do it.
This is my season
to do what?
To reap what I have sown.
Come on, you say, this is my season for grace. For what else? For favor. This is my season to reap what I have sown. Listen, everything is working together for my good. Say, church, everything is working. Don't feel good.
God bless you. This is Pastor Thomas S. Cooper. Sometimes life can seem like a puzzle, so many pieces not knowing where they fit. We know someone who can help you master this puzzle. Jesus is and will always be the answer. I want to take this time to invite you to join us each Sunday morning at Kingdom Life Temple. We're located at 3030 Jerome Avenue in the Bronx, New York, between Deadwood Park Boulevard and 204th Street. Our service time is Sunday morning, 9:45 a.m., and we also offer children's ministry during our main worship service and our midweek service on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m., also offering our teen Bible study. We'd love to see you in the place. We have a saying at our church, one voice, one sound, one family, one love. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you this Sunday.
Welcome back on the Morning Glory International Voice of Hope. This is Minister Kim, and I am just so excited. We had an awesome discussion today with our Gleam of Hope guest, Miss Sparkle Lee, our first female referee here in New York as well as New Jersey. She has an upcoming event. She's going to be in the ring on March the 28th. We're definitely going to get you that information out to you on next week. I am so happy that you stood with us and enjoyed in the hood. I'm getting a lot of texts, so thank you so much. And you know, if there's something going on in your hood, that means your neighborhood, then guess what? You can definitely email us and let us know what's happening. If you're not a part of our fan page on Facebook, I do encourage you to like our page and tell us your thoughts by going to facebook.com / The Morning Glory, IVO Hope. Again, facebook.com/ The Morning Glory, IVO Hope. We never leave this show without giving you the opportunity to know Christ. Yes, that's right. If you are not a believer, if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we encourage you to open up your heart and receive Him by first acknowledging Him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Son who came and went back to glory for you and I. Your sins will be forgiven, and guess what? You get to start it all over again, a new life, because you'll be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 9 and 10 is the sinner's prayer. Read it, but I want you now to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and for you, you have eternal life.
That means that you are saved and you have just been adopted into the King of Kings family. And that means that you and I now become covenant brothers and sisters. I do encourage you to get into a Bible teaching church, whether it's at Kingdom Life Temple, whether it's at Memorial Baptist Church where Ms. Sparkle goes to, or get into a church that has godly principles that's going to help you with this new walk with Christ. Fellowship is key on this new journey. If you need any help, guess what? You can always call us up, 347-857-1295. Inbox us on Facebook or just inbox us or send us an email on our website. We love you and we appreciate you. And we'll be back next week. God bless you.
You're listening to the Morning Glory International Voice of Hope with Minister Tim, providing you with that gleam of hope.
It's my time to fly. Waiting for a long time, gotta do it, and won't let nothing hold me down.